Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Broncos for Breakfast with Nick Kendall and Scott Kennedy.
Welcome in. It is time for an episode of Broncos for Breakfast. I am Nick Kendall, joined by Scott Kennedy. Oof, Scott, what a game to forget. And Denver ran into an absolute buzzsaw. I know that a lot of the advanced metrics have this Baltimore offense as being one of the best we've seen in the last 10 years and many of the efficiency metrics, and man, did they look like it. Denver ends up giving an unbelievable amount of yards on the day, or just, you know, not even yards, but just efficiency from the Ravens overall, 396 yards to 319, but only 54 plays, 7.3 yards per play from the Ravens as well. And this game got out of hand from the get-go, really, Scott. Just a not a good day from Denver on either side of the ball.
Yeah, it was, you know, mama said there were going to be some of these days, you know, and you go on the road against a really good team coming off a loss, and the reigning MVP was on. You know, I mean, Lamar Jackson was on. The guy has put up Tecmo Bowl numbers in his career, and he basically, whatever he wanted to do, he could do. And there's not too many teams that are going to beat the Baltimore Ravens on a day like that. I mean, he's in the pocket, he's throwing sidearm, he's running when he wants to. And I start to think, it's like, okay, you know, Vance Joseph's going to get some hell for this, for that, whatever. You know, here it is. We knew it. This was the Vance Joseph's fall alone. But I was like, you don't necessarily scheme against a guy when he's playing like that. I need a guy like that on the other side of the ball on my side. You know, it's like if he's picking you apart passing the ball, well, I can't send the blitz. And if I'm sitting back, then they're running the ball. I mean, this was the best version of the Baltimore Ravens, and they're a tough team to beat, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, it was an absolute buzzsaw. You mentioned Lamar Jackson. He finished the day with 18.7 total EPA, 0.75 EPA per play. What was his actual passing? 16 for 19. Perfect passer rating for 280 yards. And Denver had no answer. The Ravens would only face five total third downs through the first three quarters and 3 minutes. So Denver was just getting obliterated on first and second down defensively. They couldn't create negative plays, and the secondary was exposed to some extent. Riley Moss, not his best game. Jaquan McMillan had a really hard time keeping up with Zay Flowers, and the loss of PJ Locke hurt. But I think, you know, even Locke out there, it would have been some issues. Jones didn't have the best game either. Not a good game for the Broncos. Fortunately, they're not going to face another offense like this season that creates such a difficult matchup for what you want to do up front. Denver did not play as much man in this game as they have this season. They did not blitz as much as they have this season. And they weren't able to get home by sending four. And when they were able to get home, or, you know, at the doorstep, Lamar Jackson slipped away and then hit a big play. So, yeah, really a really bad game from the defense. Offense didn't do that much better, Scott. But really, for me, this one is shell-shocking for me just because how bad the defense was. I mean, you want to talk about all the efficiency numbers. The Ravens, even before that last two-play touchdown drive where Zay Flowers right before halftime, they were putting up 4.25 points per possession, which would be the best offense of all time in the history of the NFL, right? So it's like, oh, well, it wasn't bad until the second half. No, they were scoring touchdown after touchdown. They had, what, six or seven straight scoring drives, all of those being touchdowns but one. I mean, this game was lost because of the defense. Overall, they didn't have an answer, and they didn't play like the number one unit.
Who's coming in number one for us? And we've got some supers we want to get to. We see y'all out there. Troy's coming in red hot here with the hot pink. He says, from the perspective of this week, what a terrible game. From the perspective of going into the season and expect a game with encouraging trajectory, interested to see how the coach's team react this week. No trades is fine with me. Yeah, we're coming up on 24 hours till the deadline is over. I think it's 4 o'clock tomorrow. And, you know, again, I always err on the side of no trades will be made, and I don't consider, you know, a back end of the roster for a seventh and sixth. I don't consider those trades. Those are the kind of deals that happen all the time. I'm talking about deadline deals that actually make some headlines. Mm-hmm. You know, you're trading for a starter, or you're trading away a day one or two pick for a starter or vice versa. I think it'll be pretty quiet. We'll see. Right now, I think the when we're chalking up numbers as far as wins and losses, this was one that we had as an L, and the Broncos are still ahead of pretty much anybody's trajectory when it comes to where we thought they would be at this time. Nobody had them going to Tampa and winning. No one had them going to New York at the beginning of the season. Now, if we switch it around, I'd pick the Broncos against the Jets. Yeah. But the again, this team is ahead of where we thought they would be, one game notwithstanding. I go back to Nick. I'll go back to one of the comments. What was the first big win? It was Tampa. It was a Tampa game. First real big win of the team. And someone said, well, these guys aren't that much. These guys kind of suck after a big win. I'm like, well, that's because we're pretty even keeled. I'm not jumping off any cliffs either after a big loss. It is. It's a roller coaster. And the line, the straight line that we ride through that roller coaster to say the trajectory of this team still has an up arrow. It's still pointing upwards. And that's the big picture right now, Nick. Yesterday's butt whooping notwithstanding.
Yeah, I mean, overall, this was a game that got out of hand pretty quickly and the defense didn't really have any answer. And you don't have the offensive firepower to play back and forth shootout style of football right now. I mean, even if you didn't have a rookie quarterback, you don't have the weaponry to do so. And that's one reason. Did want to shout out to Troy. Thank you so much for the $49.99. What a terrible game from the perspective of going into the season. Yep, expected encouraging trajectory. No trades is fine with me. I think the Broncos, if I was in charge of the team, I would be looking to trade a few guys that are end of contract players that you don't have any intention of retaining after the season, just to get a few extra chips going to the offseason.
Who are you going to get anything more than a pick swap for?
I think you could probably get a 6th round pick for DJ Jones. I mean, he's still a pretty good
one tackle. I consider DJ Jones, if DJ Jones were to move, I would consider that significant enough. That one's out of the ordinary for me. But talking like, again, Nick, you hear me like make fun of this discussion all the time. Man, Greg Dulcich is always hurt. He's unproductive. He's slow. He can't play. We need to trade him.
Yeah, no.
Dude, you can't. Who wants that guy you just described? Baron Browning. Someone came on, one of the Broncos fans. Hello. You know, when I'm lamenting that the Falcons pass rush, just like, maybe you should trade for Baron Browning. I'm like, who's he? Who's he play for this season? I don't know who that is.
He's had flashes here and there, but you're probably not getting
not
anything
this
better.
Year.
He was really good in that first game. I think he had 3 or 4 pressures and then he got hurt, which, you know, that's the same thing. But he's still a pretty good edge setter on the whole. I think you could get a 5th round pick for him. Overall, he's still young.
I'm not trading a 5th round pick for him.
I think the edge market's going to be inflated. There's enough demand. So we'll keep an eye on it, Scott.
To your point, though, if I could get a 5th round pick for Baron Browning, I'd do it.
I think that's on the edge for me because he's still talented, but he hasn't had the injuries and stuff have really been an issue for him. But the two that I keep coming back to here, and again, what are you getting for him? It's your perspective on it, Scott. It matters what the context is. But DJ Jones and Baron Browning seem like the two most likely names that have been floated around. You're probably talking about a mid-day 3 pick, which, oh, that's not great. But what did you give up to get John Franklin Myers over here in Denver? It was a 6th round pick. Well,
no, I consider the player. I'm looking at like the impact of the player. If I'm trading a back-of-the-roster guy for a pick swap, that's a nothing move to me. That's not a deadline deal. If I'm moving a starter, and DJ Jones is a starter,
yeah,
that counts. That's a deadline deal. That one counts.
I think Browning qualifies as well. I mean, he's getting starter snaps. Not this year?
He hadn't played this year. Nope. Well, and he hadn't played enough in the past. Browning is a roster bubble guy right now based on his inability to be on the field.
We'll agree to disagree to a certain extent there because he's getting starter snaps because they don't trust Benito on base package. So he's still getting about as much snaps or Cooper as Benito when he's been healthy. But yeah, it's good to have Oblivion Empire says, let's have a great show like always with these guys. Yeah, I think those are the guys that come in. And that doesn't mean Denver is tanking. I have some people saying, yeah, Denver after this loss definitely should be on more on the seller's market. I'm not looking to give away, you know, Sutton for nothing or trade Garrett Bowles or trade Sertan. You know, this is a team that's trending in the right direction. But are there players who you don't have any plans on keeping after 2024 that now you are in the value, not only getting pieces back for them, but also creating opportunity for guys behind them as well? Because you have Owazarike. Are you going to bring back DJ Jones and Cooper and Browning next season? You're probably one of three there. So is it a bad idea to see what you have in Owazarike? I've heard some positivity from Brandon Miller. You have Tillman as well. When Browning was hurt, stepped up as well. Ellis higher up in the rotation. It's not just, you know, taking those guys away. It's opportunities for other guys that you don't know about that you're trying to evaluate for a team that is trending the right way, obviously, but in a game like this is also pretty obviously a season or two away from competing with the upper echelon of the NFL. That's my perspective on it. And is a fifth round, sixth round pick really valuable as far as the player you're bringing in? Not exactly, but when you have a bunch of those day three picks, you have a higher probability of hitting on somebody. You also have more flexibility. You can bring on a veteran. You can package those picks and go up to the top of the fifth round. You know, it's so there's options there for Denver. You know, I'm not looking to just give away guys to give away, but it's obvious this team is a little early, but still far away in a rebuilding phase. And if there's guys that you have absolutely no plan on bringing back after the season, you should at least be amenable to it.
Oh, what you're saying for me is 12 months a year.
Yeah.
So when the way I think of this is I think deadline deal. You know, are these deadline deals or are these just deals?
Yeah.
You know, that's the difference. If I'm moving a starter like DJ Jones the day of the deadline, that's a deadline deal, man. You know, Broncos move starter, that makes a difference. Or, you know, again, are they just deals? Yeah. DJ Jones is a deadline deal. Baron Browning is somebody that can't stay on the field. Dulcich, yeah, somebody that can't get on the field. You know, yeah, you want to try and move those guys for whatever you can get anytime during the season. I'd be a little surprised if DJ Jones would move, though. I would. I'd be, because again, as James is coming in saying, being honest, I didn't expect our team to be 5-4 at week 10, but here we are. Even if we lose the Chiefs at 5-5, the path to the playoffs is still there. I agree. The next four are winnable games after this.
Yep.
Most of them are winnable games after that, honestly.
I mean, Scott, let's be real. The Kansas City game is winnable. They are like,
I think so too.
They're undefeated, but they're 5-0 in one score games.
And what's like, their, I bet in like point differential, they're probably like eighth.
I think Denver was right there next to them.
Yeah, it's like they every were like one high. Of their games. It's like, it's they're so frustrating as someone who doesn't root for Kansas City because all they do is win. Mm-hmm. It's like there isn't anything they do that's impressive out there that scares you, but except win, you know, again, who's more likely to hang 40 on you? Baltimore.
Yeah.
Who's also likely to go out there and lay an egg? Baltimore. But if Baltimore's on, they're going to embarrass you. The Chiefs will just go out and win. They're going to walk away. You're going to, man, we had it. The end of the game, we were there. If this happens, one more play, that penalty, this and this, we would have won. You know what? That's what seven other teams have said so far this year.
Yeah. Yeah, the Chiefs are, they're playing a little bit with fire, though. You know, they're not really putting teams away. The weird thing about the Chiefs is they are far and away the most efficient team in football. They're not explosive at all, but as far as what a successful play is, which is gaining half the yards to the first down on first or second down. So let's say it's second and four, Scott, you gain 2 yards. That qualifies as a successful play. And on third or fourth down, completing the first down. And the Chiefs this season are just unbelievably brutally efficient in the pass game and the rush game. They have the number one rushing success rate team in the NFL. They're the number one success rate team in the NFL on the whole. And they're the number two pass success rate team behind Baltimore Ravens. So they're not creating explosives really, and the Ravens are the second highest success rate team on rushing. So Denver plays
lucky on this one, Nick. They are eighth in point differential. It's like eighth? That felt about right. I'm like, you know, it's going to be good because they're undefeated.
Yep.
But everything, like you said, everything's one score game, which is playing with fire. Yep. You know, that's why they were 11-6 last year. You know, they were losing some of those games, and then again, come playoff time, I don't care what their record is. I'm picking the Chiefs until someone beats them.
Yep.
You know, they just win games. And Miguel, I agree with what you're saying and what James said. This game is winnable. It absolutely, because they're going to give you a chance.
Yeah.
Something, if one of those things goes wrong in any of those one score games, one play flips this way or the other, probability tells you it will. Are you going to be there to take advantage of it? Miguel, appreciate it. He says, sup, fellas. It's good to see you, Miguel. Do you think the Broncos overpsyched themselves for this game? Seems like it, the week leading up to it, Bo and Cortland looked good. On to the next. Go, Broncos. They changed things up a little bit. They were a little bit more aggressive. Does not that offense, get in your head when you fall behind?
Yeah. They played this game, and Sean Payton called this game like it was Vanderbilt playing Alabama, right? Like it was one where it's like, wow, we have a massive talent disadvantage, and the only way that we are going to win this one is if we pull all the stops and hit everything early. I mean, going 1-for-5 on fourth down in the game. Granted, shout out to Bo Nix with the and Cortland Sutton on that awesome Philly special play. Good catch and physical to cross the goal line there by Nix. But yeah, not great early on. But I don't fault the aggressive plays. I don't love the execution. You know, Javonte Williams, you got to know where the line is there to get that. Bo Nix, you can't overthrow it. Absolutely wide open. Troy Franklin on that fourth down. Would Franklin have caught it? I don't know, but you got to give your guy a chance. That's wide open as it possibly gets in the NFL, Scott. So it was more of an execution thing. Would it made much of a difference if Denver kicked a field goal in some of those spots? I mean, not when you're giving up almost 4 points per drive to the Ravens, who go 3-for-5 on only have 5 third downs in the first three quarters, Scott. I mean, they're absolutely killing you. You had to hit every single one of those fourth downs to have a chance with how the Ravens were beating you on offense. And it is a sliding doors conversation. Who knows? I mean, if Denver doesn't throw a pick on the second play, who knows how it plays out? But Sean Payton approached this game to me as one where it's like, we have to hit these harder plays and be aggressive, because if Baltimore gets a lead, they're going to pull away and pull away fast. And that's exactly what happened. Obviously, the not getting the fourth downs converted on those makes it happen faster. But are we playing a beauty contest where if you only lose by 6, you know, that's great? No, losing by 40 versus losing by 6 counts the exact same in the standings. This isn't the BCS. So this is just straight up NFL wins, losses. So I don't fault Sean Payton for being aggressive. I have more issue with the execution from the offense.
Coach Chris coming in. Appreciate you, Chris, with that Broncos orange on the super chat. He says, this game was tough to watch. Showed some glaring holes, such as depth and the fact we have issues playing from behind. The penalties, bowls, killed us in the play calling. We need wide receivers and running backs in the worst way. Love you guys. Love you too, brother. Thank you so much for the support for the show. Keeping my forehead nice and shiny. I guess schematically, again, when Lamar is playing like that, he's going to be tough to beat because you can't scheme anything. You can't say, okay, normally you try and you're not going to get this. You're going to have to beat me this way. Well, when he can beat you running and throwing, you're awfully tough to beat as a defense. The question I have, Nick, from a schematic standpoint, is how is Zay Flowers so open so often? The Denver Broncos have done a really good job with Pat Surtain of shutting down number ones this year. Zay ate you alive.
Yeah.
Why? And a lot of times I felt like I saw Riley Moss trailing instead of Pat Surtain.
I saw Jaquan McMillan.
Either way, who I didn't see was number two.
Yeah. They schemed him out. I mean, Zay Flowers isn't playing boundary very often. And are you going to change the integrity of your defense to follow Zay Flowers to put Surtain in the slot? I think
the next time you play him, you might.
I don't know, Scott, because I feel like you're hurting two areas. You're making Surtain worse in the slot and you're making McMillan worse outside. Now, if it was a team that didn't have other options, like let's say it was the Cowboys with CeeDee Lamb and a bag of clowns. I mean, not good outside of CeeDee Lamb and he's playing the slot. Okay. We're going to play man. We don't think they can run the ball also. And that changes the formula too. So I just think that this was a bad matchup for Denver. And my biggest disappointment was Well, A, I don't think they played the style of football that has gotten them to this point this season. I think maybe they were too focused on trying to get bodies in the back end, where I think you should have been lining up one-on-ones and still been aggressive and live and die by the sword, because that's what's gotten you here. It felt like it was a lot more zone. It was a lot more four-man rushes, and it wasn't able to get after Lamar. And I know that you are more prone to the screens, the running back stuff. Teams are starting to really isolate linebackers and edge rushers in the pass game against Denver. It's something that the Chargers did well. It's something that the Ravens did well in this game too. But I think you shouldn't change up your formula so drastically. I'll be curious to see what the numbers look like when Football Insight releases the coverage data from this week. But it felt like a lot more zone coverage and a lot less five-man blitzes, which is something that Denver's been better at this season.
Starting to cover this team is our fourth year. I know there was a lot of disdain for screenplays. And then I saw why, watching, you know, the Denver Broncos try and run screenplays without the personnel really to do it. Your offensive line wasn't good enough really to execute a screenplay well. A well-executed screenplay is a thing of freaking beauty. It's diabolical. When you've got 1,000 pounds of guys out there hunting down linebackers and safeties with a guy running behind them, it's fun to watch. And for athletic offensive linemen, it's fun to play. You know, I want to get out there and watch it. Watch the Baltimore Ravens run their screenplays and tell me that you don't want to run screenplays. There was one play, Nix was rolling out to the right, and the edge got just a tip. It might have been the interception one. But they were blocked. It was blocked well, but it got tipped and it was incomplete. And there were just two guys out there. I've watched so much football, I'm forgetting, but I'm like, there was one that didn't happen. I'm like, dude, that's a touchdown if that gets through. And hell, it may have been the Cowboys-Falcons. I apologize. The short part is I love screenplays. I love a well-executed screenplay. And Coach Chris, yes. Wide receiver, yes, you got to take the best available. You don't want to reach. But if my board is stacked and I've got five players to choose from that I have ranked equally, I'm going wide receiver, depending on left tackle. Again, left tackle is probably the bigger need, depending on what happens with Bowles, if you need a replacement. But this team today needs a wide receiver in the biggest way.
I'm with you. Unfortunately, I'm not a big fan of the upcoming wide receiver class. And I know I'm going to be pushing against Broncos country all season, where I'm like, if you're picking 16 to, let's say, 26 range, I like Emeka Egbuka. I'm not really a big fan of Luther out of Ohio State, Luther Burden out of Missouri. I don't know if he can run routes, Scott. He scares the hell out of me.
Find those guys at the Senior Bowl in the second round that we've fallen in love with that have had good seasons.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of, you have to use your first round pick on the wide receiver.
I love second round wide receivers. I feel like we've always been able to find guys in the second round.
Yeah. We'll see about this class. I really like Royals out of Utah State. He's a name to keep an eye on, but I don't really love the top. I liked McMillan out there at Arizona, but I think he's going to go top 12 because it's not a very good offensive class in general. And right now, Scott, if I was a betting man, from what I've heard, if Ashton Jeanty is there, I know I'm not really a big fan of running backs round one, and I'm really not a fan if you have to trade up in round one for running back. But if Jeanty is there when the Broncos pick, I think they'd probably go that way.
Again, this team needs playmakers. This team, I've invested in my quarterback. I've invested in my offensive line. My defense is, yesterday notwithstanding, is playing really well. I've got most of those guys under contract. Now I need playmakers. Now I need playmakers around my quarterback. And you don't have them. No. You just don't.
Luckily, it is a really good running back class next year. I mean, the amount of running backs that are going to come off the board and day two, it's going to be a massive influx. I mean, something like 17 of the top 20 rushers from the 2023 season went back to college. So this is going to be a star studded running back class, and it's a good tight end class too. So you can add, there's ways to add to this team that aren't first
absolutely
round.
Love Auburn's Jarquez Hunter. Love him.
I mean,
it's an unbelievable class. And they don't use him. He gets 12 carries a game because that's a different, but there's not a lot of wear and tear on the man either. And he is so good. Yes. Yeah, so good.
We'll have time to talk about it, but like the running back class looks so good, Scott, that like, I wouldn't even be against them using two picks on the position, depending on how they feel with Audric Estime down the stretch. But thank you so much, Mark, for coming in. We're gonna have to wrap it up here pretty soon, just because I have a not to overshare, but my wife has shingles, and she really doesn't want to give chicken pox to the baby. So she's trying to handle him as least as possible. So a little shorter time because we have no familial help up here. So I got to be on it in general. Michael comes in and says, "Good morning, Nick and Scott and Broncos for breakfast." Go, Michael. Thank you so much. Really disappointing
speaking
game.
Of familiar help, speaking of familial help. Nick?
Oh, yeah. I do have help, just not physical, local help. But Darren, the old man coming in, happy belated birthday. It was his birthday on Saturday, so shout happy out to birthday. The old man. Up and down, that's life.
Hope your mom's doing okay. Dad.
Yep, that is life. As far as the Broncos, again, defense wasn't very good in this one. I thought that this was by far the worst game of the year from the Broncos defensive line. Jonathan Cooper had a really bad game. I didn't think DJ Jones and outside the sack, John Franklin Myers had good games. Roach and Benito had a few times where he got back there, but couldn't finish. So again, this did not look like the Broncos defensive front we had seen all season, unfortunately, but we'll see. I really think Scott will have a chance to talk about it on Wednesday. I really think this defense is going to respond very well against Kansas City this upcoming week. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to win, but I think this is going to be I think they're going to have a good game against Kansas City. We'll see about the Falcons. I really respect the Falcons offense. It's going to be a tough matchup, especially if they try to isolate the linebackers, safeties, and edge rushers against Bijan Robinson. But that's a different conversation. We're way too down the line there. I did want to give a shout out to Bo Nix, Scott. I thought that he had an overall okay game. It is probably his second or third best game, in my opinion. It was just really hard because from the second possession of the second half on, it was garbage time. And I know everybody kind of rolls their eyes. What is garbage time? Blah, blah, blah. At that point, the game is so funky. It's not in its normal state in play design that they know you're passing the ball. You don't have the rush option anymore, and it's falling apart. So Bo Nix gave the Broncos defense the ball. They were down 17-10. The next time he had a possession that was, you know, actually could do anything, I think it was 31-10.
It was. Yeah,
and then you have a three and out, and then it's doubled
up at halftime there.
Yeah, and then you have a three and out, and then it's 38-10. You had one possession in the second half that was close to garbage time, but wasn't quite there yet. You went three and out. That's not great. But I really don't put too much weight on this game for Bo Nix. He had some missed throws here and there, that big fourth down one he should have had, but I thought he did pretty well overall. And I thought that, honestly, also, Scott, I thought the offensive line wasn't terrible. I heard some people after the game saying Bo Nix was running for his life. I don't have the data on what a quick pressure is, which is over 2.5 seconds or shorter getting after there. But to me, it looked like Bo Nix was back there pretty static in the pocket in the actual dropback game, not having moved from his spot. And then once it reached, you know, 3.5 seconds, which is well beyond understandable to give up pressure at that point, then he started had to scramble around. It was a lot more of that in the second half. But again, they're pinning their ears back. It's garbage time. They know you're passing it. I thought the first half and the first half, the offensive line did fine. It's just the game was too far away in the second half with how it went that I'm not putting anything on anybody on the offensive side of the ball. It's over at that point.
Yeah. Again, we could beat this game to death. Honestly, it was just one of those games against a really good team. It happens. It does. There will be team. And again, going back to your point about, or going back at least to the point about Kansas City, you're going to be in this game. You'll be in the game. Now, whether you win or not or lose or not, you're going to be in it. It's just a different style of team. All they do is win. David Cromwell, appreciate you coming in with the support. He says, yesterday said as much about how special the Ravens offense is as it did about just how much work remains for the Broncos in this rebuild. Well, yeah, I mean, how many top 100 picks have you forfeited in the last 3 years? Five? Six?
And you're not even talking about trading up in like day two, like trading up for Mims and Moss as well.
I mean, that kind of counts too.
Oh, it is. You're giving up. Yeah. You're giving up picks.
Probably. Yeah. And you're right. I wasn't counting those like seven top 100 picks. You're talking about 80 million in dead cap. This team is so far ahead of expectations right now. And again, I think at the beginning of the year, when we were talking about rosters versus this versus that, Nick was right. I underestimated the Sean Payton effect. And this is a guy I advocated for, you know, 6 months, give up the first round pick to get, because the man can coach football. You watch some of these disastrous dumpster fire teams out there, and man for man might have better rosters, but as a unit, and you're not getting nearly as much out of them, because the program itself is a disaster. Raiders, Panthers. Now, I wouldn't say Panthers are better. I'm just saying these are disaster programs. Saints, Titans. You know, some of these are just
Giants.
Bad football teams. Jets, dysfunctional. The Jets are dysfunctional.
Cowboys, Jacksonville.
So, yes, there is. And when you run into a team that is playing their best game at the peak of their powers, yeah, it's going to show you, hey, we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. We're more along the line of we're on our way up. We've lost a bunch of possible players with salary cap and draft picks that we've given up, but we're on the way. We've got the infrastructure. We've got the infrastructure to be there. So David, thank you for the comment. And Miles, talking about, you know, the playmakers, we went wide receiver, running back. This counts too, a tight end. Thank you for the stars over there on Facebook, Miles, coming in a couple of times. Yeah, and I include that in the playmakers. I mean, it'd be nice if you go premium picks. You could go second, third, fourth round, wide receiver, running back, tight end. Those are premium picks that should impact your offense quickly. A third round running back is a premium pick. A fourth round tight end can be a premium pick. So our boy Theo Johnson out there getting behind somebody yesterday, a rookie tight end.
Yeah, he's
talented. He went the fifth or sixth. This is a guy we loved last year.
Yep. It's a really good tight end class. It's a unbelievable running back class. You're going to have a chance to add playmakers to this team, and it doesn't just have to be your first round pick. Now, would I love a first round wide receiver for this team right now? Yes. But it doesn't have to be. I think right now, if I was a betting man, it'd be offensive line, Scott, but we'll see. We still have a long
left tackle too. I think right now, if you're betting, is Garrett Bowles back? And if not, then you don't got to do anything, but your number one priority would be getting a left tackle if Garrett Bowles is gone.
And I just kind of going off of Sean Payton's history. I mean, he's drafted offensive line and defensive line, like 70% of his first round picks are that. He's only taken two first round wide receivers, no tight ends, two first round running backs, a lot of defensive backs, but that was earlier on. But defensive line and offensive line, first round pick after first round pick after first round pick. It's the Bill Parcells way, man. He's gonna build the trenches. So we'll see what happens in this one.
Some discussion here real quick, and then we'll let you get out of here, Nick. I think they called that almost a run.
They did.
It was when Benito got a tackle for loss when he got Lamar, but I don't think they called it a sack because it was like a botched running play. Yep. So they didn't give him a sack for that one. So his sack streak, I do believe, came to an end.
The only official sack in this game was John Franklin Myers on that first drive, and that was the only punt. That was
a points changer.
It was. I mean, it took points off the board.
That was a big deal at the time.
Yes, it was. It took points off the board. Unfortunately, you wouldn't see Baltimore punt the ball again until the fourth quarter from that point, because they just took you to the woodshed. But an unfortunate game for Denver. Overall, though, it's one that Sean Payton, after the postgame press conference, they're going to stew in a little bit and work on it. And I think this is going to be a team, bringing it back to Sean Payton as we close it out, Scott. I trust the culture so much more on this team, and I think that they are going to be ticked off, embarrassed, and you are going to see a motivated...
I have some news. I think Dennis Allen was just canned.
I would believe it. That team was absolutely falling apart.
Speaking of dumpster fire teams,
yep.
I think Dennis Allen was just canned.
Yep. All right, well, there that is. Not shocking. I'm sure Dennis Allen will work his way to the Broncos this offseason. I don't think he's going to be the defensive coordinator. I think Vance Joseph will be back, but in some sort of advisory role. Although, man, I don't know if I want to get rid of or take any voice from Jim Leonard as well. So we'll see what happens there. But, Dennis Allen fired. He'll probably never be a head coach again because that's two times now that he's had a chance and been fired. So that's kind of, for a defensive guy, you don't get three chances typically.
But you've made enough money. Go be a defensive coordinator and enjoy life.
Yep. Yep. The Spagnuolo role there. Yeah, but
seriously.
Yep. I mean, he'll be fine. But
this is the Peter principle. You've made a bunch of money. Let it sit there and accrue over the next 10 years and go have fun and make $1.5 million instead of $8 million.
Yeah, and it's that's a bad spot to be in also. Not a very interesting roster, not a lot of assets to add to that. So I think that Saints are in a world of hurt. They should really just absolutely tank next season and get Arch Manning in there, because how could you not want Arch Manning in the Saints with Archie there? It's too poetic, but we'll see. Mr. Roush comes in, Humphrey needs to be replaced. I can't stand watching him on the field. Vele more playing time. Benito looks like a guy verbally firing up the defense. Yeah, Vele should and will get more playing time. Little Jordan Humphrey, I mean, he does have a role because he can actually block out there in the big slot. He's kind of a tight end wide receiver hybrid, but too many costly penalties. This is, you're seeing the depth in the secondary causing issues yesterday with Key. You're seeing the lack of playmakers on the offense. These are trickle-down effects from the dead cap and lack of top 100 picks. So you're not going to have great players at every spot right now. He's one that he's still...
The fun part, this one will get you, Nick. Little Jordan Humphrey is younger than Devon Vele.
That's shocking.
He's younger. I took about, it's like, listen, we can call him a rookie, and that's like Kadal and Hideki Nomo a rookie. Vele ain't a rookie, guys. He's 27. He turns 27 in a month. He's a veteran. He's a man. He is a grown man. Little Jordan Humphrey is actually younger than Devon Vele.
Pretty shocking. But yeah, overall, Denver's defense plummets a bit. I think they had the fourth worst singular pass defense of any team in a single game this season in EPA per play. And they were the number one defense in first and second down EPA. And obviously that is going to plummet as well when you only force a team to have five total third downs through three and a half quarters of play. So Denver's defense back down to earth a little bit. I mean, let's go Ravens the rest of the way, beat Kansas City. I wouldn't be, I'm not Bills fan as well, but anybody that can beat Kansas City is a friend of mine right now. So hopefully that'll get a little bit better out there. We got Michael before I got to wrap it on up. Says great show today. Nick and Scott on Broncos for breakfast. Go Bo Broncos. Yep. Denver gets taken to the woodshed, but you know, it's going to be a lot of game left. Denver is ahead of schedule still. I'm very disappointed in the defense, but I'm expecting them to round out, and this is going to be a culture game for the Broncos coming in. I think they're going to play inspired football against Kansas City after that embarrassing game. So we'll see. Kansas City tonight. So they're on a short week, and Denver's still in the thick of things. And fortunately for Denver, the rest of the AFC looks like absolute garbage fire right now. I mean, the Colts look terrible. I really think, Scott, last word here before I really do got to go. I think that week 17 game, Denver at Cincinnati, that's going to decide the seventh seed in the AFC playoff picture, because it won't be the Colts. They look dreadful. I just can't pick the Colts. And I think their Chargers are better than you. Obviously the Ravens and Steelers have the head to head. I don't think, obviously Houston's going to win the AFC South. Chiefs are going to, you're four games behind the Chiefs. You're not catching the Chiefs. It's going to come down to Denver versus Cincinnati.
Is there a sneaky team that's better, like the Rams version? The Rams are a sneaky good team that's going to be there at the end. It could be the Bengals. The Bengals are that team that got off to a bad start, and they might be there at the end.
And you play them week 17. Playoff game. We got to take care of business, but that's a big one. So appreciate everyone. Make sure you're following Scott and I on Twitter. Scott's at Scout Kennedy. I'm at Nick Kendall, MHH. Thank you to Oblivion Empire. James Todd, thank you so much. Troy Boer, Miguel Santa-Steven, you guys are great. Coach Chris, Mark Schrader, Michael Ronquillo, the old man Darren, David Cremello, Miles Kendrick, and Mr. Roush. We had a lot of support today for a team getting bludgeoned 41-10. Better days ahead. Bad game, but it is just one game on the whole, and this team is still ahead of schedule. So a lot to be positive and optimistic about. And we get to cleanse our palate here in less than a week now, hopefully. So against our biggest rivals. So I think Denver's got a chance in this one. A lot of people won't pick them, but I feel okay about it after this butt whooping.
Yeah, maybe we're not the guys to listen to after a big win because we're not going to be super hyped, but we're absolutely the guys to listen to after a loss because we're not going to be too down on it. This happens. This team, again, my final words for the day is this team is significantly farther ahead than I expected them to be at this point. And moving forward, there's draft picks and money coming. I love the trajectory this team is on. Forget this game. On to the next one.
Culture game. We'll see what happens. Appreciate everyone. Have a great rest of your day. Continue to choose kindness and compassion. Get out there and vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but make sure you get out there and exercise your right and have a great rest of your week. Go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Good morning, Broncos country.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.